What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Vice Principal on Office is brought to you with support from our sponsors. Looking for a home in the greater Des Moines area? With over 19 years in the real estate business, Janae Griffith has the expertise and dedication to help you find that special place to call home. The kind of home where you can drop your bags, exhale, and say, "Yes, this is mine." Whether you're buying or selling, Janae Griffith is making it the home for you. Visit Janae, that's J-A-N-A-E, at JanaeGriffith.com to get started. Looking for custom team gear or standout promo apparel? Wee's Tees is your one-stop shop for high-quality, high-impact prints. Based in Ankeny, Iowa, Wee's Tees provides dependable in-house service from screen printing to DTF transfers to heat press work, all done with a passion for precision. Wee's Tees turns your ideas into gear that performs on and off the field. So head to Wee's Tees and customize your apparel for your grind, your game, and your glory. Get started today at WeezTees.com. Grab your best pair of shoes and join me, your host, Lisa Hill, for another episode of Vice Principal on Office, as I share the unexpected drama of footwear requirements in school. Who would have guessed that the wrong choice of shoes could derail an entire workday? Not me, but after some hilarious misadventures, I'm here to tell you, I now know better. So let's get laughing and learn. Attention students, I mean listeners. The stories in this podcast are told from the host's personal and farcical point of view. All names and identifiers have been omitted or altered to protect identities. Now, get to class and enjoy the show. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Vice Principal on Office. Let me start this episode with a couple questions. Do you have your first day of school outfit picked out? Do you have those shiny new shoes ready to go? Because I do. Yep, I said it. I do. And there's a reason for that. I've had a wonderful opportunity land right on my doorstep, and it was one of those I couldn't pass up. I'm coming out of retirement again to serve as an interim principal for the upcoming school year. It's in a district I've never worked in before, but here's the best part. I have worked with some of the amazing educators there, and getting the chance to team up with them again, that's the kind of door you just don't walk past. You know how life works sometimes. Just when you think you've closed the door on a chapter of your life, it cracks open a bit. Then you peek inside, and suddenly you're packing your bag for a brand new adventure. Speaking of new adventures, there's also another exciting development in my podcasting life. If you've been tuning in lately, you've probably heard some promos for two incredible podcasts, Control Shift Lead and From Carpool to College. They're hosted by four brilliant educators who are making a real shift in K-12 education. Well, I'm thrilled to say I've joined them for our new collaborative podcast, Navigating the Nest from K to Success. Together, Tracy, Tara, Jim, Adam, and I will be bringing you insights, stories, and strategies to help parents and educators map their way through the ever-changing world of education. And don't worry, Vice Principal on Office isn't going anywhere. You'll still get your regular dose of funny, weird, and you can't make this shit up K-12 stories. Because let's be real, the chaos of school life is a gift that keeps on giving. So lace up your shiny new shoes, friends. We've got a lot of walking and talking to do. Thanks to my mom and dad, my brother, sister, and I always kicked off each school year with a brand new pair of shoes, because nothing says back to school like blister-free heels and the smell of fresh rubber soles. And of course, our outfits were always courtesy of the local Sears store. My sister and I usually also rocked a brand new polyester shirt and, brace yourselves, a skort. If you don't know what a skort is, first of all, I'm sorry your childhood was so boring. It's basically a skirt with sewn-in shorts underneath, aka freedom with modesty. Honestly, this was a very strategic move on my mom's part. I was the kind of kid who carried a pocket knife, ran around all summer barefoot, and basically lived outdoors. So when the school year rolled around, she knew I'd be hanging upside down from the monkey bars or digging a hole to the center of the earth during recess. A skort was definitely necessary armor. Now, I think I was going into third or fourth grade when my mom let me pick out my very own pair of back-to-school tennis shoes. And let me tell you, my choice says a lot about how weird kids are. I picked out tennis shoes that looked like, wait for it, a smiling mouth. I'm not kidding. The shoes were blue, orange, red, and yellow, and the rim was made to look like a big old cheesy smile, teeth and all. I'm pretty sure my mom wasn't thrilled about buying those shoes, but 9-year-old persistence wears a parent down like sidewalk wears down chalk. So I won. And once I had them on, oh, I strutted around like I had just debuted on the Paris Runway Show 3rd grade edition. And honestly, I might have. I actually tried to find a picture of those shoes online. Not because I wanted to relive the fashion moment, but I was curious. The closest I found was a pair of Peter Max canvas pop art tennis shoes. Kenny's Shoe Store, our go-to store back in the day, definitely sold those in the 1960s and 70s. So it's possible my smiling shoes were a knockoff of Peter Max's design. But if they weren't knockoffs, I'm kicking myself for not holding on to them. Today, those smiling kickers go for around $1,200. You can check out the closest match I found on my Vice Principal on Office website. Now, fast forward to junior high. My parents let me buy sandals. And wait for it again. The sandals transformed into roller skates at the pull of a button. So yeah, long before Heelys ever rolled into the spotlight, I was zipping down school hallways in my futuristic footwear. Honest to God, I will never forget the day my math teacher, who later became a school administrator, actually pulled me down the hallway in those roller sandals. He was one of the cool ones. And yes, I was wearing a lot of confidence and probably a lot of polyester that day. By the way, I loved roller skating. I remember being about 9 years old, getting dropped off by my parents to meet some friends at the town rink. Naturally, they made sure I had a couple bucks in my pocket because back then, $2 could buy you a full afternoon of freedom. Seriously, that $2 was a small fortune. It got me hours at the roller rink, a bag of chips, and some kind of mystery frosted treat that was probably 90% sugar and 10% frosting, and a soundtrack packed with pure 70s magic. My grade school brain was fully convinced I was the coolest person alive, especially as I glided around to sweet song Little Willie, like I was starring in my own disco-themed coming-of-age movie. And when I needed a break from skating, I'd head over to the glowing corner of the rink where the pinball machines were calling my name. A couple of quarters later, I was flipping and tilting like a champ as I tried not to lose my ball to the dreaded gutter. After all the skating and flipper action, I'd cooled down with a 25-cent snow cone, because being that hip required both hydration and more sugar. And while I may not roller skate like that anymore, at least I'm still hip, just in a slightly more orthopedic kind of way. Anyway, back to shoes. I gotta tell you, throughout junior high, all I really wanted was a pair of shoes called Waffle Stompers. You know the ones, dark brown suede boots with red laces. The soles left behind this deep gridded pattern that all the kids thought looked like, you guessed it, a waffle. Hence, Waffle Stompers. I never actually got those boots, but that didn't stop me. I used to swap shoes at school with a friend who did own a pair. By the end of the day, my socks would be soaking wet with sweat because Waffle Stompers were basically wearable saunas. But I'd switch back into my own shoes before hopping on the bus home. God, middle schoolers are weird and gross. And maybe, just maybe, my parents were right not to buy me those Waffle Stomper boots after all. However, my parents did get me a pair of brown leather Chukka boots. Maybe they thought they were Waffle Stompers. Who knows? Either way, I wore those Chukkas all the way into college until the leather gave way. I loved those boots. They were so comfortable. I still wish I had the damn things. They made my feet happy.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
Come to think of it, I can actually remember a lot of shoes I've worn over the years, like my 1980s burgundy ankle strap heels. They were elegant, stylish, and miracle of all miracles, comfortable. Oh, for the love of galoshes, I still wish I could wear heels. But at this point in my life, my knees would likely file a formal complaint. I guess 5 knee surgeries will do that to you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm no fashionista. I mean, have you seen the bright pink hat on my podcast cover? Which is a story for another episode. But when it comes to shoes, I know they can make or break an outfit. But more importantly, shoes can make or break your day. I don't think I remember certain shoes because of how they looked. I remember them because of how they felt. When your feet are comfortable, your whole day goes better. And in K-12 education, you need every good day you can get. Trust me. If you're going to keep your head in the game, your feet need to be in shoes that don't betray you by third period. And let's not forget, there's nothing quite like that first day of school feeling, standing there in your brand new shoes. I can still remember the excitement, the nerves, the confidence, and just a touch of panic all rolled into one as I stepped into a new school year, rocking a fresh outfit and squeaky clean soles. And that feeling? It never really went away. Every August for the next 55 years, it showed up right on schedule. And now, here I am again, stirring up all those same emotions for one more first day of school. If you're doing the math and wondering how 55 years makes any sense, remember, I started school in 1969. And basically, I never left, which is probably why I kept the tradition of buying a new outfit and pair of shoes for the first day of school. It was my way of resetting, recharging, and reclaiming a bit of my childhood joy. But when I hit August as a retired person, nothing. Not even a flicker of excitement. Weird, right? But now, knowing I'm going back to school for one more year, those crazy feelings are back. Anyway, once I became an adult, I had to start buying my own shoes and clothes for the school year. I became painfully aware of some of the odd dress code expectations schools placed on employees. And one of the strangest ones? Shoes. Now, let me be clear. I consider myself a high-functioning, reliable adult. I've got a solid work ethic. My parents raised me right. So imagine my surprise when my shoe choices landed me in trouble at work. Yep, reprimanded for shoes. Which is why I called this episode Shoe Rules and Other Footnotes. Of course, I really wanted to call this episode Who Knew Wearing the Wrong Shoes to Work Could Completely Derail Your Job Performance? Apparently, our supports and school leader authority are a package deal. I mean, come on. I believe in dressing for success, or at least dressing for the job you want, but there are limits. It's not like I was showing up in slippers or moldy old tennis shoes. Okay, after knee surgery number 5, I did start wearing tennis shoes every day, but trust me, they were clean and fully functional. And here's the truth. If my feet weren't comfortable, I couldn't do my job. Period. I was really good at what I did, no matter which captain of the Foot Locker happened to be in charge. But for some reason, footwear choice was also a federal case in the early years of my career. Hopefully, today's K-12 leaders have calmed down about what shoes teachers wear. And if you're a school leader sitting in your air-conditioned office worrying about whether your staff is wearing proper footwear, let me give you some advice. Stop. Just stop. Your teachers are on their feet all day. So let them wear what works for them. Dress shoes? Sure. Tennis shoes? Absolutely. Waffle stompers? Why not? Sandals? Go for it. Slippers? Maybe, but only if someone's recovering from bunion surgery. Look, micromanaging grown adults' footwear is a ridiculous use of time, energy, and taxpayer dollars. Trust me, there's way more important shit for school leaders to focus on than employees' shoe choice. But hey, if you're a school leader who insists on policing shoes, have at it. Just know that your efforts have officially earned a spot in the you can't make this shit up file.
Oh, Lisa Ann.
Sorry, Mom. But the idea that today's K-12 educators need help in choosing which shoes to wear to work so they can work with kids all day, that's just plain insane. And I still can't believe I survived the era when teachers had to leave their comfy tennis shoes at home and wear dress shoes instead. You know, those closed-toed heeled shoes paired with pantyhose. And if a teacher dared to show up otherwise, they risked getting written up for violating the dress code. Wait, what? Closed-toed, heeled shoes, and pantyhose? Yes, youngsters, there was a time in my career when school staff were expected to wear closed-toed shoes, and the ladies Well, skirts and pantyhose were basically mandatory. Let me tell you, I hate pantyhose. They're like tiny suffocating snakes wrapped around your legs. Try putting those damn things on when it's hot and humid and there's zero air conditioning. Seriously, it's basically like an Olympic event. Gold medal goes to whoever can avoid a meltdown and a rip in their stockings. It sucks. Dress codes for public school teachers used to be strict, and honestly, pretty archaic. Which doesn't surprise me, since K-12 public schools always seem to be about 10 years behind the rest of the world. If you want to hear more about the slothfulness of public schools, check out episode 3 of Vice Principal on Office. It's a wild ride. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah. Believe it or not, I actually worked for a school administrator who threatened to contact HR and write me up over my choice of shoes, or more accurately, the lack thereof. This lovely, let's just say challenging administrator, was a bit older than me and firmly believed that strict employee dress code rules needed to be followed to a T. You can probably hear the faint echo of my lingering resentment toward this particular leader. And here's the thing. This administrator had a knack for focusing on all the wrong stuff, like obsessing over lunch duty timing instead of teaching quality, or micromanaging exactly where the staff had to stand during hall duty. The weird need to control every single minute of an employee's 8-hour day was just bizarre. Instead of actually supporting and growing teachers' instructional skills, you know, the real job of a school leader, she took the easy way out and clung to control. And here's a little leadership truth bomb for you. Trying to control employees to death is dumb. If you're a manager or a leader who's focused on controlling logistics instead of empowering people, maybe you shouldn't be in charge. Why? Because controlling leaders often kill employee productivity. And I was a perfect example of this. I mean, if a principal hired me knowing I could do the job well, then why try to control my workday down to the shoes I wore? That kind of leadership nonsense drove me to invent one of my favorite pastimes, how to drive the school principal crazy. Look, I firmly believe that if you're doing right by the kids, trivial stuff like shoe choice should never be an issue. Unless, of course, someone is showing up in slippers, dirty, smelly shoes, or heaven forbid, barefoot. Which might explain why this particular administrator zeroed in on my footwear like I was committing some sort of crime. The story went something like this.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
At the end of every school year, one of the schools I worked in held an 8th grade graduation ceremony. Keep in mind, this was the 1990s, and I thought the whole 8th grade graduation thing was a little silly. I mean, we were throwing a cap and gown event for a bunch of 13 and 14 year olds who still had 4 more years to go before they even earned a real diploma. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for celebrating milestones and giving kids some shine. Recognition assemblies, love them. But a full-blown graduation? It felt a bit much. Like a historical reenactment that no one asked for. Plus, by the 90s, most states required kids to stay in school until at least age 16. And while I fully understand that school isn't a magical place for everyone, the push for earning a high school diploma was real and necessary and still is. Yes, yes, I know. People can be successful without a high school diploma. But here's the thing. No one can take away the knowledge you've earned and learned. And continuing to learn builds your critical thinking skills. Those are the kind of skills that help you pause, zoom out, and assess all angles of the problem before reacting. It's what I call the balcony view. The one where logic and perspective kick in before you lose your mind in a group chat or a grocery store parking lot. And let's be real, critical thinking skills are desperately needed these days. Have you seen the social media videos of grown-ass adults screaming in public like toddlers having a meltdown before a much-needed nap? I get it. We all get mad. But people with solid critical thinking skills know how to read a room, listen first, and come to a rational conclusion. Then again, maybe schools stopped teaching critical thinking skills. Or maybe some people skip school the day it was taught. Either way, come on, adults, we know better, so let's do better. Okay, back to my story about 8th grade graduation. So every year on the last day of school, the middle school I worked at held its annual 8th grade graduation ceremony. And for some unknown reason, my teaching partner Lynn and I, yes, that Lynn, my partner in crime from way back, somehow became the unofficial graduation setup crew. Check out episode 8 if you need a refresher on our shenanigans. Anyway, there we were, sweating it out in a non-air-conditioned gym, helping the one poor custodian on duty get everything ready for the big celebration. And when the ceremony ended, surprise, we were also the ones tapped to clean it all up. Of course, by this time of day, the custodian had already finished their shift and gone home. That's right. The school district had the brilliant money-saving plan where there was no custodian on duty for about 2 hours after school got out each day. Now, if you've worked in a school, you know those last couple of hours are chaos. It's when everything shifts from regular classes to after-school activities. Public schools are used constantly once the bell rings. We're talking Boy Scouts, adult ed, PTO meetings, board meetings, whatever. Taxpayers fund the buildings, so they're gonna use the buildings. But I digress. Back to shoes. It was hot. The gym was stifling. Actually, the whole school was hot because it didn't have air conditioning. But the district office did. Just saying. So by the time Lynn and I lugged the final load of chairs back to the band room, every child and most of the staff were long gone, already enjoying their summer break. And Lynn and I, we were dripping in sweat, exhausted, and still working. So when I finally got back to my office, I kicked off my stupid dress shoes and let my poor feet breathe. My knees hurt, my feet were killing me, and I thought, you know what? I've earned 5 barefoot minutes of peace and quiet. Clearly, I thought wrong. Because not even 60 seconds later, our charming vice principal came marching into my office to give me a full-blown lecture about my lack of footwear. Now, I want it to be known that I was not walking around the school barefoot. I was literally sitting alone in my office just trying to cool off. And at that point of the day and school year, I could have cared less about the damn shoe school rules. I was hot, tired, and I just wanted to start my summer vacation. But being the professional that I am, I sat patiently and listened to this lame leader's attempt at an authoritarian tirade that was a stern lecture about wearing proper footwear at all times in a school. Because, one, we're professionals and I should respect myself and the school enough to wear shoes. Two, proper hygiene in a public place is a must because no one wants to step where my bare feet have been. Three, safety, 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 because who knows what could happen to your bare feet. Glass, spills, and mysterious floor gunk are a barefoot nightmare. Four, being shoeless was a liability, and the school didn't want to be held responsible for an injury should I stub my toe. And five, it is socially unacceptable to go barefoot in public unless you're at a pool or a beach. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you can probably guess what I was thinking. And if you're not sure what I was thinking, well, let me tell you. I was thinking, one, I'm a professional and you're stupid because you didn't lift a finger to help set up or clean up the unair-conditioned gym. Two, I'm sitting in my frickin' office alone, so no one is going to step where my bare feet have been. Plus, the carpet in my office gets steam cleaned over the summer. Three, I'm sitting here with my shoes off to cool down. I'm not going to walk around the unair-conditioned school and injure my feet. Four, my husband's a lawyer. I'll take my chances with the legal fallout of barefoot sitting. Five, socially unacceptable? You're socially unacceptable. Plus, nobody likes you. Of course, I didn't say any of that. I just nodded politely, waited for her to leave, and thought, you'll be gone soon, just like every other administrator before you. And guess what? I was right. By fall, she had moved on, promoted no less, to a head principal position in another town. Now, how a school leader like that became a head principal when their sole purpose was to find success as a shoe policeman is beyond me. Get it? Sole purpose? The soles of your shoes? Well, I think it's funny. Anyway, that shoe incident would not be the last time I got in trouble for my choice of footwear. I later worked in a building where all the female administrators wore these dainty little dress shoes, some with heels and bows, some with open toes and pedicures, and others that matched their handbags like it was a fashion show. Me? I had already had two knee surgeries by then, so I wore what I could. A good leather loafer. Expensive? Yes. Stylish? Maybe not. But those shoes got me through my 8-plus hours of chasing teenagers without sending me straight to physical therapy. But apparently in that building, fashion was more important than function, because loafers didn't cut it. If your shoe didn't scream cute, your credibility took a hit. So I said screw it to the latest foo-foo-y shoe fashion trends, and stuck with my comfortable leather loafers because those shoes worked just fine and helped me get the job done. Though when it came time to supervise athletic events, it was tennis shoes all the way. Why? Well, let me ask you, Have you ever stood on cement for 5 hours supervising some dumb athletic event after running around a school building all day? Your knees will beg you for mercy. By the time I got to most Saturdays, I'd be sitting with ice packs strapped on both legs like a linebacker. Those long nights standing on cement, staring into the bleachers, was probably why I went on to have 3 more knee surgeries. Supervising children for decades can take a toll on a person's body. Anyway, to be kind to my knees, once school was out and summer arrived, I'd put my leather loafers away and wear tennis shoes. I mean, there were no kids, no staff, just me and my fellow administrators working away in a quiet building. So, tennis shoes seemed okay. However, one hot summer day, I opted for a shoe choice that actually landed me in a little hot water. What was my shoe choice? Flip-flops, or slides if you want to sound trendy. Supposedly, when you're working in a nearly empty building on a hot summer day in July, flip-flops are not seen as professional school wear. Who knew that footwear professionalism is a year-round requirement in education? Maybe it's even on the school employee evaluation form. Demonstrates exemplary pedagogical practice while wearing fashion-forward shoes. Needless to say, I didn't wear sandals to work again for a very long time. See why I say you can't make this shit up?
Oh my God, Lisa.
Well, it's true, Mom. With all a school leader has to do, reprimanding a staff member for being barefoot or wearing flip-flops when kids and staff aren't even in the building should be the least of an administrator's worries. Trust me, I'm right. I've lived that life, and I'm about to go live it again.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
Okay, moving on. Did you know teacher dress codes have been around since basically the beginning of public schools? Yep. Way back in the 1800s, female teachers were expected to wear modest dresses, corded petticoats, and what they called sturdy, flat shoes or boots. I'm guessing those sturdy shoes were sturdy in the same way a wood bench is. Comfortable? Absolutely not. And I'm pretty sure those old sturdy shoes had zero arch support. My feet are aching just thinking about it. Now, I do believe school staff should look appropriate for work. We are professionals. But let's be real. We're working with kids, and kids are messy. So in today's educational world, jeans are totally fine. I've always thought jeans are to teachers what free t-shirts are to students. Teachers will do anything for a jean day. Seriously, I've seen teachers bring casseroles, sign up for extra school duties, and wear spirit gear for a whole week straight just for one glorious Friday where jeans are allowed. And when you get a jean day, you get to wear your tennis shoes. My personal rule of thumb? Dress as professionally as you can within your subject area. If you're teaching kindergarten, no, I don't expect you to wear heels while chasing five-year-olds around the classroom. That's just setting yourself up for an ankle injury. But at the same time, I don't expect you to roll into school in an outfit high schoolers might wear to skip their first period class at Starbucks. So just dress appropriately for school, and if in doubt, ask. Bottom line, dress codes are fine, but let's not pretend we're teaching in corsets by a coal stove with a chalkboard and switch for discipline. Comfort and professionalism can exist in the same outfit. While I've shared a few stories about my own run-ins with infamous shoe rules, I definitely witnessed some other strange footnotes, pun intended, along the way. There was a teacher who had to bring an actual note from a podiatrist just to wear Birkenstocks to school every day. Like, really? We're policing arch support now? Then there was the teacher who rocked those toe-fitted shoes. You know, the ones that look like your feet are wearing a wetsuit. They were bright blue and green. Made their feet look like they were auditioning for a role as a barefoot alien. I never thought those shoes looked comfortable, but hey, to each their own. And like I shared in an earlier episode, there was that teacher who sunburned their feet so badly before graduation, they physically couldn't put shoes on. Yep, graduation ceremony, no shoes. I love summer, but let's not turn the gym stage into a beach. No barefoot sunbathers at graduation, please and thank you. I've also seen teachers wear slippers to school after bunion surgery, which is fair. But when kids try to wear slippers to school, it's a little harder to justify. Most of them aren't recovering from orthopedic procedures. They just don't want to wear real shoes. Eventually, I hung up my Olivia Benson Law & Order SVU power shoes. You know, those don't mess with me leather loafers. And spent the last decade of my career in tennis shoes. And let me tell you, it did not affect my ability to lead a school. If anything, I got more done once I made the switch. Probably because my damn feet didn't hurt anymore. And for the record, I'm a huge fan of On tennis shoes. Seriously, the most comfortable pair of shoes I've ever owned. I even bought a fresh new pair for my first day back as an interim principal. Do they go with my first day of school outfit? Honestly, I don't care. At this point in my career, comfort wins. But to all the kids out there getting ready for a new school year, I'll leave you with the wise words from a great Nancy Sinatra song. These tennis shoes are on lunch duty. They don't miss a sound. One of these days, my tennis shoes will turn your fun around. Well, kids, the dismissal bell is ringing. So until next time on Vice Principal in Office, push in your chair, put your name on your paper, be kind to your classmates, put your phone away, and use your indoor voice. Or not. Thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoyed the tales from Vice Principal in Office as much as I enjoyed sharing them. And it is also my hope that you were not only entertained by this episode, but that you walked away with a little nugget of knowledge that gave you some insight on how working in a school is not for the faint of heart. And as I've said before, life is short, so you got to do the best you can to leave the world in a better place than when you got here. And of course, for the love of God, see the humor in life. It's a lot more fun and a little easier to get through the ick in life with a smile on your face. Catch you next time on Vice Principal in Office. And don't forget to tune in August 26th for a bonus episode as Vice Principal in Office celebrates the launch of the new podcast, Navigating the Nest, From K to Success. This new podcast is the collaboration between fellow podcasters from Control Shift Lead, From Carpool to College, and Vice Principal in Office. Together, we will bring perspectives from school leadership and college guidance, enriched with unforgettable real-life tales from the hallways. Whether you're a parent, an educator, or a student, this new podcast is designed to provide valuable insights, hearty laughs, and the confidence you need to navigate the nest successfully. Hey students, I mean listeners, thanks again for tuning in. And if you've enjoyed today's show, please leave me a review. It really helps grow the show. And don't forget to hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. Trust me, you don't want to be late for this detention. And listeners, if you've got a school story of your own that you think would fit Vice Principal on Office, I'd love to hear it. Just head to my podcast website and send me your story. And who knows, your story might even get a shout out in a future episode. Thanks so much for listening and for your support. Vice Principal on Office is an independent podcast with everything you hear done by me, Lisa Hill, and supported through Buzzsprout. Any information from today's show, along with any links and resources, are available in the show's notes. So if you want to do a little homework and dive deeper into anything I've mentioned, head over to my podcast website and check it out. And a big thank you to Matthew Chiam with Pixabay for the show's marvelous theme music. And of course, a huge shout out to my mother. This podcast is for the purpose of entertainment only, like the recess of your day, and not a platform for debates about public education. Though, you never know. You could learn something. And just a reminder that the stories shared in this podcast represent one lens, which is based on my personal experiences and interpretations, and also reflect my unique perspective through humor. Names, dates, and places have been changed or omitted to protect identities and should not be considered universally applicable. Until next time, keep laughing and learning.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.